Hey everyone, welcome again to our morning devos. This week we've been reading through the book of James, and so today's chapter is James chapter 4. This James chapter 4, let me read this chapter for us. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy it, But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Amen. Here in this chapter, James very sternly calls out the recipients of his letter for their unfaithfulness. It's not clear to us what exactly was going on, and I don't necessarily think he thinks everybody is unfaithful, but it seems that there are at least some that James is aware of who are quarreling and fighting amongst each other. And in light of this, James uses this part of the letter to call them out on it. What's interesting to me is that it seems James believes the root of these issues is what he refers to as friendship with the world, or as it says in the subheading of this chapter in the ESV, worldliness. I say it's interesting because when I think of worldliness, some very specific acts come to mind. Maybe this is just me having grown up in the church, and you know, when we talk about the world and worldliness, there are specific things that are often mentioned, or at least you know, associated with it. Things like drunkenness, or violence, sexual promiscuity, lying, stealing, cheating—you know, those kinds of things. While I think those kinds of things are related to worldliness, we can see from this chapter that the root of worldliness, or the root of those kinds of things that I mentioned, is ultimately acting upon your self-seeking desires, or as James simply puts it, your passions. Passions here isn't James talking about like things that you're excited about or things like that. He's really talking about something similar to what the Apostle Paul says when he talks about the flesh. It's this almost carnal desire to fill and satisfy oneself. James says the cause of their quarrels and fights are because your passions that are at war within you, the desires that you have that you're trying to quench regardless of the cost. And you know, when you think about it, this really is worldliness, isn't it? The world will tell you that if you want something, just go and get it. Put your wants or perceived needs first above everything and everyone else. I mean, just think about pretty much every advertisement that you see. They're pretty much all about fulfilling your desires, satisfying your perceived needs, even if those perceived needs are manufactured by that same agency trying to get you to buy their thing. And it's about doing all of this, getting that thing that you want, thing that you need as quickly as you can. Think about these slogans. Hungry? Why wait? Or have it your way? Or just do it? It's all about immediate self-gratification without regard for others or even the consequences of these actions. But notice what James says about all of this. In verse 4, he says, "You adulterous people, Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. It's animosity that's straight up just turning against God. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In short, we can see that worldliness is in opposition to God or godliness. And why is that? That's because godliness isn't about trying to gratify the self, but about putting the needs of others before our own. It's about living for something or someone bigger than and beyond ourselves, the greatest of whom is, of course, God. Godliness is submitting not to our own desires, but to God. We know this partly from this passage, but also we know this from the life of Jesus, who exemplified this, who put the needs of others, the world, over himself, who was obedient to God, even to the point of death. I think if we're honest with ourselves, to bring it to us, if we're honest with ourselves, we all try to straddle that line between godliness and worldliness. It may not be on purpose, it may not be all the time, but if we really think about it, we often try to straddle that line between godliness and worldliness. We might do a bunch of things that are considered godly, and very gladly and intentionally so. You know, we might attend church, we might even serve, we listen even to the morning devos. But we also have certain areas of our lives where we've developed a friendship with the way of the world. We might go to church, but some of the things we pursue and prioritize during the week may not be very much God-centered. We might serve, but only in the ways that we enjoy, or only in the ways that make us feel good. We might read the Bible and pray, but it might be more of a checklist item, and the rest of our day is focused on things like career advancement or entertainment or pleasures of various kinds. These are just a few examples that come to mind, and I'm sure we can all think of some of our own. In all these kinds of ways, we oftentimes try to straddle this line, try to hold both this godliness that we tell ourselves we believe is good, but also worldliness in the sense that these are the things that we still want to do and not let go of. But from what we read in our chapter, we see that there is actually no such thing as straddling the line. You're either on one side or the other. James is not one to mince words, and again, he says friendship with the world is enmity with God. Not only that, as James bitingly puts it, friendship with the world makes you an adulterous person. If you're an adulterer, there is no straddling the line here. You're betraying, you're cheating on the one you claim to love. And when we grow a friendship with the world, that's what we're doing with God. We're essentially cheating on him, the one we claim to follow and consider our Lord. Our decision to put ourselves first, you see, isn't just a harmless thing. It's quite serious. And it's because of how serious it is that James actually tells us to get serious. Verses 8 and 9, when he says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom." You know, when he says this, James isn't advocating for a lifetime of solemn behavior. He's not telling us to just feel bad about ourselves. What he is saying is basically, stop fooling around. You know, stop messing around with these other things. Take this seriously. Now, how do we do that? Well, I believe it begins and ends by submitting ourselves to God, as James says in verse 7. Rather than submitting to our own desires, or in the end, the world, we must submit ourselves to God. This idea of submitting to God, or letting go of our desires, humbling ourselves and giving into his ways, this kind of thing can sound not only difficult, but actually, in some ways, can feel even a little bit scary. Relinquishing control to someone else can make us feel a bit uneasy. But the thing is, when we submit ourselves to God, we actually find greater security and blessing. Going back to the beginning of the chapter, James points out that we quarrel and fight because we're coveting things. We are longing for things, maybe out of a sense of insecurity, or maybe because there is this hunger within us for something more. And so we fight and scratch and claw to get that thing that we think that we want and need. But then James says, you do not have because you do not ask. The implication here is that if we try to do it ourselves, we're going to be fighting and warring with one another. But if we ask God, well, he will give. This reminds me of what Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Jesus goes on to compare God to a good and perfect Father who knows how to give good things to those who ask him. So you see, when we let go of our own selfish pursuits and surrender to God, we'll actually receive everything we need and more. As it says in verse 10, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will actually exalt us. He will lift us up to a higher level. When we draw near to God and submit to him, most importantly, he will draw near to us, as it says in verse 8. And as he draws near to us, as we are filled more of him, we'll have everything that we need. In what ways have you been trying to straddle that line? In what ways have you been having the appearance of godliness but been growing your friendship with the world? Maybe some of this is unintentional, but as the Spirit brings things to awareness, let's repent and turn from those things. Let's repent of our having been adulterers and instead submit ourselves fully to God and trust in him, delight in him. Let's draw near to him and receive as he draws near to us. Let me pray to close us. Father, thank you for this word. And Father, we ask for your forgiveness. We confess that there are areas, I confess there are areas in my life, and I'm sure all of us can think of ways in which we have been straddling this line between worldliness and godliness, or I should say trying to do so. But Lord, help us to submit fully to you. Help us to let go of the control that we want. Help us to let go of the passions that oftentimes wage within us. And instead, submit ourselves to you, knowing that actually you will fill those needs. You will fill those desires. As you draw near, as you fill our lives, you will bring us that satisfaction that we all so long for. And so, God, I just pray over our church. Help us to keep looking to you, drawing near to you, being filled with more of you today. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.